They went in and said, okay, yeah, there's some serious fraud going on here. This family court is seriously corrupt because this is your practice. This is what you guys have been practicing here. And your business practices are contrary to the law. And we can't pay you people to do this. So essentially what happened in February of 2018, which the documentation that I've supplied to you and is on public record, anybody can search it on the internet. Just do a quick Google search of Ector County, Texas, and go to the clerk's office and go to the announcements that the entire Magistrate Division of Family Court in Ector County, Texas was abolished due to fraud. How does somebody in a totally different state, miles and miles and miles away, go into a family court to get any kind of documentation? So if somebody can answer that question for me, other than stating the obvious, fraud, and this is where we go, somebody used their position of employment as an advantage to procure fraudulent documents that say, hey, you can't mention my name.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Kirk Pendergrass coming to the program to talk about Timothy Holmseth and Field McConnell, what's going on with their situations. What is ECLAWS? What is this Pentagon task force, pedophile task force? Is it real? Is it not? Just the whole thing and asking all the questions that people want to know. I mean, who's funding it? Who's behind it? What's going on? Did they really take a court system down in Texas, which they did, which is incredible. I have the links all to that and the proof of it. And he talks about why they did it, what's going on with Child Protective Services, how is Donald Trump involved, how is the White House, how is the Pentagon involved, all of that is here. You can take it for what it's worth, but I'm asking all these questions, and we're in a really hard time. And it's very traumatic, what's coming out. Not everybody understands truly what it is that we're dealing with. And those that have seen it and reported on it, in deep sense, understand it. And it's traumatic, it's horrifying. And so we talk about Field McConnell and Timothy Holmseth, their personalities changing lately. Why? What's going on? So I think this is an important interview, and especially for all of you that have questions on this case and what's going on behind the scenes. And then I want to tell you, I want to thank my patrons so much for supporting this independent journalist sitting here. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for going to my shop and buying products from my affiliates. That's another way that I support this channel. And I keep adding stuff, especially before Christmas. I'm adding things. There's some free stuff. I got a couple free things there too. A couple things where a free thing where you pay $5.95. And one is a free stiletto blade. It's all part of the Patriot survival gear. And so there's some free stuff for free, like saw. And then also I have this upgraded version of the execution torch. It's an amazing police grade, military grade weapon that you can use to protect yourself. All of that is on my shop, along with the staples I have, which is the C60 black seed oil and gel caps, and then C60 for animals. There's a big difference of using C60 for animals versus for humans. Animals need and require different things. So that's up there. But anyways, let's get into this very important interview with Kirk Pendergrass. Hi, Kirk. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Glad to be here. How are you?
I am good. I am glad that you decided to come because there is so much confusion, so many questions, panic, you know, I mean, just in general going on with also, you know, with Field just being arrested with the Holmes-South case. People are confused. They don't know what E-Clause is. Trafficking is really bad. We've established it everywhere. The Epstein case made it right. Well known, right? But people aren't, with so much, the mass media, you can't trust. This impeachment scam makes it so obvious you can't trust what's going on. And so nobody trusts anybody. And so what I want to do is ask you a lot of questions about what E-Clause is, what you're doing, and how you're helping Field and Tim. And we're also going to talk about Field and Tim a little bit and Timothy Holmes-South then. Some of their behaviors and talk about that because they're under a lot of stress. So first, I want to talk about E-Clause that you have, that you're part of. What is E-Clause and how did you get to be part of it?
Well, essentially, E-Clause is born out of Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, an emolument is any advantage, profit, or gain received due to one's position of employment or holding office. Attorney General Barr said that it's a stipend, so attached to some office. So based on an executive order from March of 2017 from President Trump, who was doing a complete audit of the entire executive branch, and in that executive order he asked for help from the American people to report on any issues or concerns that they had. Christopher Hallett, CEO of E-Clause now, at the time had been in loss prevention for 27 years in the private sector. So when he saw this executive order, clearly Christopher Hallett completely understood that, oh, you want to do an audit? Well, in loss prevention, that's what loss prevention does, is they perform audits for losses, you know, your profits and losses in corporations. So Christopher Hallett tied up with a couple of other people, Crystal Bills Malmstrom out of Utah and Nathan Altenhofen out of Ector County, Texas, and then his own case, and they did the initial practitioner's judicial report to United States Congress based off of the executive order from Trump. That particular document was filed in August of 2017.
And we have those documents for people to reference, right? I mean, we can share those.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have that practitioner's judicial report out there. Eclause.org is a place that you can go right now. Go into the file section there under that tab and go to the Eclause LLC, and it'll be there, the files right there. Also have the Kirk's Law Corner. All of that is there. We have all sorts of documents on that particular website. So, that practitioner's judicial report essentially is what created E-Clause. Now, I'm going to share with you and the people out there, possibly.
Well, while you're looking for what you're looking for, now, was that something... They started working on a case in Texas in a court, a very corrupt system in Ector County, Texas. And we're going to talk about that because you had some success there taking down a whole courthouse. Now, who funded that activity then? Was it privately funded or did the administration help with that?
No, this is all done basically predominantly by us. We're not really, we're not funded by anybody. And you know, basically we survive off of donations other than Chris, you know, still has his regular daily job. as loss prevention in the private sector for corporations. You know, that's his daily job.
So is this a nonprofit business supported by donations?
No, this is actually a for-profit corporation, a 501c4.
Okay.
LLC, E-Clause LLC. You know, I was actually trying to share the document, so there's something you can probably do later to insert that in there.
Yeah.
I'll just read from the document. I certify from the records of this office that Christopher E. Hallett, located in Florida, has registered E-Clause to be used as a mark under classes 0045. Said mark was first used anywhere August 25th, 2017, which is that particular document that I just referenced, and was first used in Florida August 25th, 2017. I further certify this mark is being used in connection with the following goods and or services: providing legal services under the Title 42 supplement enacted by Congress to enforce equal protections under the law. I further certify that said mark was registered in this office on October 3rd, 2017, and its date of expiration is October 3rd, 2022. This number of the number of this mark is T17000001216. And people can go right on to Florida's government website, their SunBiz, and verify this particular, our status and standing in law, that we are lawfully created by Congress to be loss prevention for the government of the United States of America.
Okay. And in Texas, you worked on your first case or first auditing, right? And it resulted, why did you pick Texas, first of all? And tell us what that resulted in, because that's a pretty big deal. And I couldn't find any articles in the media on it, but I found obviously the court documents, and there's reference to the actual county, you know, the county court clerk site and stuff that confirms what you're saying. And we'll have links to all that for people. But explain how you got into it and then what happened.
Well, at this particular time, I was just... And I basically had started working with Chris in February of 2017. I was not really part of how all that happened. In fact, I really didn't even know that it was going on in the background, that that's what Chris and Nathan and Crystal was working on, until it was real close to being filed. And that was already filed. And then it's like, hey, this is, here's the document. So anyway, I had been working with Chris at the time, but what essentially had happened is, based on the executive order, Chris followed due process of law, responded to the executive order, reported, and that's why it's called the practitioner's judicial report. Now, everybody knows what a practitioner is, right? They're the expert in their field. So Christopher Hallett, as an expert in the field, in loss prevention, yes, under a real estate license, that's an actual license issued by the executive branch, used his credentials and his knowledge of agency practice and doing loss prevention for 27 years at the time, reported on this. This is what's going on. Here's the evidence. We would like an investigation into this. And okay, so this was filed in August 2017. And
what was going on there?
Well, in the Nathan's case out of Ector County, Texas, there was some child abuse going on, and the father was trying to report it to protect his son. And because the mother had ties with an uncle that was in the sheriff's department and working with the judge, this seemed like, a conflict of interest. Any advantage, profit, or gain received due to one's position of employment or holding office? Okay, so this is a prime example of how this applies, and it was applied here, that they turned everything around and they actually put the father in jail and accused him of what they were actually doing, and then using people in positions of employment of holding those emoluments to conspire against this man. And so this fraud was exposed, and it involved the judge, sheriff's deputy, or sheriff. So basically, they went in and they told on him, right? And so people having the power to do investigations did a preliminary investigation and went, whoa, this isn't right. They had the evidence, you know, this original document with all of the appendix or evidence in agency practice is called appendix, was like 1,500 some pages. So this is a total of three cases now, mind you, but all of the documents and the court of record from all three cases, so that, you know, made up the 1,500 pages. But in this particular case in Ector County, Texas, they went in and said, okay, yeah, there's some serious fraud going on here. This family court is seriously corrupt because this is your practice. This is what you guys have been practicing here, and your business practices are contrary to the law. And we can't pay you people to do this. So essentially what happened in February of 2018, which the documentation that I've supplied to you and is on public record, anybody can search it on the internet. Just do a quick Google search of Ector County, Texas, and go to the clerk's office and go to the announcements, that the entire Magistrate Division of Family Court in Ector County, Texas was abolished due to fraud.
And there were over a thousand cases that were dismissed, yes, or what happened, transferred, and then something happened where they, now how many of those cases probably had fraud involved in them?
My guess is all of them. Over 1,250 cases were dismissed, as far as I understand. Now, I haven't done the research to verify, although that would take way too long to verify every single case, but it is listed. You can see the PDF file of all the cases that were listed in there. A lot of them are CPS cases. I mean, we're talking about the Magistrate Division of Family Court. And we call them de facto courts because they're without fact. They have no lawful authority to even exist in our form of government. So when they came in and found, when they came in and they found all this fraud going on, and people using their positions of employment to procure all of these fraudulent documents and deprive people of their rights without due process of law, they said, okay, we need to shut this down. So the judge was offered a deal. Either you resign and you lose all your benefits, or we're going to have to prosecute you. Obviously, the man took the deal of, I'm going to resign and I lose all benefits. And then this is when they bulk transferred all of those cases because they abolished the de facto fraudulent court for bad business practices. And in December, I believe it was September, the Article 3 District Court put out the notice to all 1,250 plus cases that you need to appear and be ready on December, I think it was December 12th, to argue your case. And this is where I bring in, I don't know how many actually were dismissed, but how many of those 1,250 cases do the average American people out there think showed up to present their fraud to an actual Article 3 court?
How many?
My guess is zero.
Is that fact? Do you know that, or are you guessing? Are you guessing, or you know that?
Right. No. I'm just guessing. I'm just saying, you know, for people to use their own, internal dictates of their mind to use some, you know, basic common sense here. If the whole court was closed because of fraud, bad business practices, how many of those cases are going to show up in an Article 3 court where the whole lower court was abolished because of fraud?
Well, I would think that some would, because there probably is some legitimate ones, but anybody who's has experience would say this court system is crooked and we need to get this into another court system if we want to win, if we have a legitimate case. Now, it's too bad that a crooked judge was just allowed to retire. So the bad actors, nothing happened to them except retiring, right?
Well, technically he didn't get to retire either. He lost all benefits.
Well, that's good. He has to work now doing something.
Yeah.
But okay.
All of
well,
those,
that's still
all
a pa- that's st- That's still not what he should have gotten. Now, did you, when you were doing your research, are you finding that there are certain court systems around the country that are where they tend to funnel the crooked behavior through?
Yes. In fact, most all of the courts are de facto, which is what that actually means. It's without fact. And what it means in law is without the fact of the law being lawfully created. And what I mean by lawfully is the law dictates that, yes, Article I courts, the legislative branch, can create inferior courts based on this jurisdiction. They can't, they don't have broad sweeping powers to create whatever court they want. They have to stay within the limitations of the Constitution, because the Constitution is the supreme written will of the people, and the people have to give their consent to be governed this way.
And they just...
So even the...
Go ahead. I was going to say, the consent wasn't given, well, for a fraudulent court system, of course it wasn't given, but you're saying that All the family courts in our country have issues.
Every last one of them. I mean, the ultimate question is the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. Okay, what is the First Amendment really about? The First Amendment is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I know that it says regarding the establishment of a religion. Well, the reason why it says that is because the people already laid down the religion of this nation called America. So we already have an ideology for the nation and where are the root of our law comes from. And Congress has put it out already a few times. I can't remember the exact date, 1980, I think it was like 1985, I think. I have a copy of it, you know, where it says the Holy Bible is the law for this nation. So this isn't like something that I'm just making up. And I can get that particular document to you so you can have that to put in.
Yeah, that would be interesting because people like to think of our laws as separate from the Bible. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are questionable, like you need to obey your slave needs to obey their master and things like that. I mean, there are some questionable things in there. So it's not any different than Sharia law if you're going to be going with the Bible, I would think.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. What we're talking about is the fundamental principles of the Bible. Like in mathematics, we have four basic fundamental principles of mathematics. Those four principles dictate the correct answer every time, irregardless of your feelings, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, are you saying that if you follow the Ten Commandments, then the whole slave master quote in the Bible is kind of bonk anyways?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So thou shalt not commit murder. That's actually the law. Anything that's created by the legislature, all they're just simply doing is reiterating what's called the common law. Now, this is the confusion about common law. Oh, that's the common law of England. Or, well, common law is stare decisis or case law. Well, are you familiar with the Seventh Amendment? Common law. Okay, so if common law is case law, then how do we have a suit at case law? That doesn't sound right. I do understand and I do comprehend the fact that, yes, in England, in a monarch that has four pillars of law, their style and form of government does use case law as part of the common law. Now, our founders separated from that political division, right? The political bands, that form of government, through the Lees Resolution, June 7th, 1776. So with that separation, we created our own style and form of government, a constitutional republic. I know, contrary to popular belief out there, we are not a democratic republic or, you know, what is it? You just said, a democratic republic. We're not a democracy. rights cannot be put to a vote. And this is what a constitution does. The constitution limits what the functions are of government and what powers were delegated to them and the subject matter jurisdiction that was delegated and the limits thereof. We have a very limited government.
Okay. And this is what you teach to people on a weekly basis, and you have multiple places where you teach this, right? So people want to learn more about it. This is something that you're going out there and teaching people about. So let's get back to what you're doing. Let's get back to the Timothy Holmes-Seth case, because you had a lot of success. E-Clause had a lot of success taking down a very corrupt, maybe one of the more corrupt family courts in the country in Ector County, Texas. Now you got pulled into Polk County with Timothy Holmes-Seth. Now, why did you get pulled into that? And how, is it funded through, how was it funded? Is it through fundraising or what happened there?
Again, our funding, we don't have any funding. I mean, it's just a matter of a group of people that have come together that are trying to support one another. And then through donations, through our education, that's how I survive.
So it's donations.
Right.
It's a combination of a couple of things. Donations. You guys teach classes, use what you get from that to pay for things. It's a, you're doing what you can and shoestring kind of thing to be able to pay for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I mean, what else are you going to do? That's how you always pay for things when you're trying to change a system. Mm-hmm. You're going to be paying for things like that because you don't have all these big funders coming out of the woodwork. Now, that being said, you're going after Polk County, which is pretty serious. I mean, at some point, we would like to see some funding from big funders at some point. But I want to talk about Timothy Holmes-Seth and Polk County. Now, what is going on there? Because he's essentially, what they're saying, a fugitive because he didn't show up for court. And I know the story, and we might want to explain it to people that maybe you should explain why he didn't show up for court. Mm-hmm. But essentially now he's in a situation where he's a fugitive of the law, I think. And you correct me, what's going on there with Timothy Holmes-Seth and why did you get involved?
Well, for me to get involved, I was just, asked by a gentleman to go out on the road with him. And I'm like, okay. And, go do some education and gathering evidence and kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, seems like a serious life changer here, but yeah, let's go. So I basically was introduced to the Timothy Charles Holmes-Seth case and what was going on there. And within a few days, I'm on the road. We went out there and got a hold of some paperwork and started doing some research. And I'm like, oh, well, this has to do with domestic violence. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. How does somebody from Florida use domestic violence protection order in a family law court when they were never married? There's no marriage contract that binds either one of them to see. This just goes right back to how a family court does not have standing in law to even exist, because that's converting that right of marriage, which is a religious act, separation of church and state here, into a privilege, licensing it and attaching fees to it.
But even so, they've done it, even in their, you say it's not correct for how we establish things, how it should be established, but even in the way that they pretend to establish it, it's not correct what they implemented.
Correct.
Because they don't know each other, they're not married, he's never even been in Florida.
Right. So how does somebody in a totally different state, miles and miles and miles away, go into a family court to get any kind of documentation? So if somebody can answer that question for me, other than stating the obvious, fraud, and this is where we go, somebody used their position of employment as an advantage to procure fraudulent documents that say, hey, you can't mention my name. I think the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law regarding your right to freedom of speech or freedom of the press. So if Congress doesn't have the power to make law regarding those two rights, what law did she use to shut him up?
Well, and she's a public figure because she's represented very high-profile cases and appeared on national television. Mm-hmm. So now she's suddenly a public figure, and to be able to report on her is my right as a journalist, period, end of story.
That's right.
And nobody can question that. I know that's my right. But she somehow managed to do something here. So can you talk about that more? And then how did Polk County get involved? And what's going on? How are you evolving it into an investigation, or what's going on?
Well, in my mind, it seems that now with down the road now, since March, I've seen a pattern of behavior here. That attacking people that are exposing the truth in the media, I wouldn't say the media, because that's the thing. The right of media is a right. You can't convert that right into a privilege, license it, and attach a fee to it. We all have the right to spread the truth as long as it's true, right? It can't be defamation of character.
Yeah, well, right? I consider independent, there's independent journalists, there's independent media, then there's controlled media, and then there's probably propagandists and all throughout everywhere. But those are controlled media characters as well.
You're familiar with some of the that stuff too, so that's good.
If you're in this business for any length of time, if you don't notice the propaganda, then you're not paying attention. But okay, so
right.
Now the one thing that people are concerned about is that, well, first of all, you guys opened, you found your foundings, and then you presented it to, who did you present it to? The same thing that you did in the Texas court system is what you're doing from the Polk County. Now, is Broward also involved in that? Okay,
yes.
So both of them.
Since the beginning of all this, the process has been streamlined a little bit. Now that certain people in the top parts of government are now aware of how this is supposed to work, due process of law wise, and the powers and functions of our government that have been delegated, things move a lot smoother and a lot easier because it has been done already, not once, but at least once to the extent of shutting down an entire court.
But it looks like there needs to be more shutdown. Now, okay, now here's the concern. Okay, Timothy Holmes didn't show up for court, but he didn't show up for court because he was advised not to, because you saw a lot of fraud and corruption in that. You were afraid that he wasn't going to get represented properly. Is that correct?
I'm going to correct that. Is technically speaking, we did not advise him not to show up.
Okay.
Right. We told him that based on a maxim of law, we're talking the rule of law, maxims, can't exceed. These are fundamental principles of law. So the maxim of law is he who leaves the battlefield first loses. Okay. So what's in the record ought not be denied. That's another maxim of law. So what does anyone who looks into the Timothy Charles Holmes case out of Minnesota. There's four of them. The first one, they had already just gone through trial, had sentenced him to jail, a fine, and probation when I had showed up the first time. So after my initial assessment of what's going on, who's doing what, where, and when, those facts that I have to figure out, to do the audit. And I started my audit. I'm like, okay, this is fraud. And what we look for is the first instance of fraud, where the wheels fell off the wagon. Because fraud vitiates everything from its inception, not from the day you go to court and brand it as unconstitutional. That's a worldwide leading Supreme Court case, Marbury versus Madison. Okay, right from the beginning, that's 5 U.S. 137. Most everybody knows that particular case because of that right there. So anything that comes in conflict with the Constitution is null and void from its inception. That's fraud. And then U.S. versus Throckmorton just reaffirms all of that, that, you know, fraud vitiates everything. So we look for the wagon sitting there with its wheels falling off and go, okay, there it is. Everything after that is void. Now, in law, what you have to do is you have to follow due process of law. The common law pleadings and practice of the common law, you know, they teach this in law school. So it's not like the members of the bar don't know what that says, what that process and those pleadings look like. And it's a motion for dismissal for failure to state a claim for which relief can be granted is the first one. But there's also insufficiency of service, insufficiency of process. Excuse me. Insufficiency of process, fraud, because fraud vitiates everything.
So, I mean, you just found a plethora of that, right? I mean, it started with fraud.
Yes.
Because of the family court in Broward County, which is a joke. Is it Broward? Was it Broward or was it another?
Right.
Okay. And then it...
Broward County.
I'm sorry, what? It was it Broward County or another county in Florida?
No, that, yeah, Broward County, Florida.
Okay, that's what I thought. I knew it was in that area. I just wasn't sure if it was another court that initiated it. Okay, and then they started playing games even worse, like not giving him notices. And that's what they did right before he decided not to show up, is they all of a sudden changed the time of and added a new hearing in the morning a half an hour before without giving him a notice. They just happened to find it on the website, which is another problem, right? I mean, so it was just this whole calamity of issues.
Well, I'd like to go back to the maxim of law here. He who leaves the battlefield first loses. So here's the battlefield. The battlefield is we filed a motion for dismissal, okay? Demanding proof of jurisdiction. Where's the marriage contract? And more specifically,
where's the marriage
contract? The proof that...
I'm sorry, that's not, it's funny.
That's right.
There's no marriage contract. Okay, keep going.
Right. So, you know, contracts is what binds you to the statutes. You know, because the marriage contract is between a man and a woman and the state. And according to the Bible and Christianity, marriage is a sacred vow between a man and a woman and unto God till death do them part. I don't see anywhere in there that it talks about government. So this is why you can't convert that right into a privilege, license it, which is seeking permission. Who do you got to seek permission from to get married? The other party. And God, apparently, you know, right? Being ordained minister to do that. But so what we looked at is, and we demanded this marriage contract that would bind either one of them to statutes regarding family law. Not only that, in my research prior to this, I had discovered that Article 4, Section 4 talks about domestic violence. And it specifically says that, you know, Republican form of government, and that it is the duty of our government to protect us from invasion and upon application of the legislature, and if the legislature cannot be convened, the executive for domestic violence. Well, wait a minute. Domestic violence? What? Okay. Well, the founders defined domestic violence in Article 4, Section 4 as internal insurrection, an attempt to overthrow our form of government, overthrow the Constitution. That's what domestic violence is. It has nothing to do with family.
So they've created a BS family court system based on stuff that our Constitution doesn't even let you do. But even if you were going to say, and just like in the Texas situation, even if you say, okay, I'll accept your bogus premise that this family court is here. Even with everything that you have reestablished and said this is, it's still fraud. It is still fraud because you're not even following the formal processes within that. So it's just a problem upon problem. So no matter how you look at it, even an attorney that buys into a family court of law would find it as a problem, what they've been doing.
They should. And this is part of what we're starting to get now as members of the bar, are starting to not renew their membership to the bar. And actually, some of them are tearing them up and saying, look, man, we were frauded. We were, see, this is the thing. We were all lied to. We're all taught wrong.